This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with defense attorney Kaylee Turin today. Wanted to get some of your perspective from a defense attorney standpoint in terms of watching the train derailment and explosion of the Lori Vallow Daybell case in terms of her defense. How do you think this is going? Because it's looking pretty damning. What has been standing out to you from your perspective being a defense attorney?
Well, you know, I think the recent one with her DNA being found on the tape, yeah. I mean, you know, as a mother, I think it's horrific. You know, this whole case is horrific just for, you know, a human perspective, a mother perspective. And I think that, you know, it is just not going well for her.
Yeah.
I think with everything, it's just so damning. You know, I think we're on day 21 mm-hmm. of testimony from the state.
Yeah.
You know, it just keeps going. And it's like, when is this going to stop? And, you know, I think she's very lucky that the state had a slip up and the death penalty is off the table.
Yeah.
Because if not, she could have been looking at that seriously.
And very much so. I mean, the testimony mm-hmm. is so, so damning. Is there any wiggle room here with the hair? Because there was a piece of hair that was found on a piece of duct tape that was wrapped around JJ's mouth when he was asphyxiated and killed. But right. My only thought on this, and in no way am I trying to stand up for Lori Vallow, but but my thought is, if I go into the junk drawer in my kitchen right now and I grab the duct tape out of it, I can almost guarantee, and I'm bald, there's probably a piece of hair on it from me in some way, shape, and probably everybody in my house, if they've ever at some point used it, just because you look at duct tape and if it's been around for a while, it does that. There seems to be like a possible explanation why it could be there if they're using the duct tape from the junk drawer. Certainly it doesn't explain why her child was duct tape and bound in her boyfriend's backyard. But at the same point, it doesn't necessarily place her there in a very solid way, does it?
Not in a very solid way, but I think it's like, okay, you know, how many times are we going to say, you know, oh, it's a coincidence this time. This is a coincidence. You know, it all just starts leading up to, yeah, you probably did it or you probably didn't do it. You know, mm-hmm. there's only so many times that jurors can justify, well, maybe, you know, it was a mistake.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, you know, jurors aren't stupid. You know, they know like, okay, you know, let me think to my junk drawer with the duct tape. Okay. The hair, but let's look at all this other stuff, you know?
Yeah. What did you make of the defense? I'm just trying to get a weight on how, I mean, it's got to be a horrible job being the defense of Lori Vallow, but trying to find error, if you will, in the testimony in the recent days about the DNA when they were cross-examining the experts of the DNA laboratory that was explaining how it's like 1 in 72 million or billion. It was a crazy number.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 72 right. million of this possibly being someone else's, but then questioning right. her education, questioning, well, what about only these couple of strands here? I get yes. the strategy was, well, let's confuse the jurors because they don't quite understand how this works. But when it comes down to it, it's 1 in 72 million odds. Is this mm-hmm. them really just trying to throw stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks? Or is this like a legitimate strategy here?
I think it's both and also a CYA for appeal. So she can't say ineffective assistance of counsel because they didn't fight the science.
Okay.
As well. You know, it's normal questions to ask them. Mm-hmm. I've got a case right now where there's YSTR DNA only. And, you know, we talk about 1 in 72 million. I've got one that where it's 1 in 500 African-American males. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You got a wide range right there. And so you always want to fight the DNA, always, sure. because, you know, it is a science and it's almost like a guessing thing. Yeah, there's it's 1 in 72 million, but it's still possible.
It is. Know? And how well does that work with a jury? Are they that gullible, I guess, to go, well, you know, because we got And I wouldn't be surprised if they are either, because you get someone that's kind of convincing and like, well, you know, mm-hmm. there's a little bit of doll here. And people don't understand science half the time right. either. The well's 1 in 72 million, but you know, and is it, you know, is it effective to kind of go down that route? And does that seed of doubt work, even though you have solid science behind it mm-hmm. with such a staggering statistic?
I think the problem is it's not going to work too well, because we are in a day and age of, what is it? We have 3 Law and Order franchises and stuff. And, you know, all this, you know, jurors love DNA. I mean, one defense, one district attorney I work with is like, I always bring up the, you know, because jurors love seeing semen everywhere. They love seeing the DNA. So it's like, even though it's like we could stipulate to it, it's like, you got to bring it all out and stuff yeah. because they just love seeing it. Because if you don't, they're just like, well, where is it? Where is it? Because when I watch Law and Order, it's everywhere. They sure. do the blue light thing, you know? So we're in that day and age where it's like, this is kind of the thing we have to, because otherwise you're going to be like, well, on last week's episode of Law and Order, you know, this is what happened and they had DNA.
Yeah.
So it's something we all have to go through. You know, they properly went through the credentials and everything. So, I mean, it's something to do it, but the smoking gun, I don't think so.
What do you think the smoking, have we seen the smoking gun here against Lori Vallow? Because there's been a lot of stuff, the conversations, the humanistic conversations between her mm-hmm. and her sister, the conversation between her and her son. There's been a lot of things said, none of it truly necessarily has her right there with the shovel burying the children or right. putting the bag over their head, but certainly shows that she had knowledge her children were dead when a search right. was still going on. That was in the summer shiftlet call. Are any of those the thing that's going to sink her? I mean, collectively, yes, but have mm-hmm. we seen the one thing yet, you think, that just, you know, completely blows it out of the water?
I don't think there's going to be a one thing. I think it's just going to be a cumulative, as you said. And, you know, all the state has to do is just be like, look at everything here. I mean, you can explain one thing away or another, but like, you got A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, you can't explain away all that unless she is the most unluckiest person in the entire world in the history of the world. Yeah.
How do you see, once it is the defense's turn, to take this, where do you think they will go in trying to defend her?
I don't know. And I've tried looking that up and everything, and I don't think they've released their strategy too much, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, for, you know, a cinema point of view, like, oh, what's going to happen next and everything. But I think it's also good because they're keeping it very close to the vest and everything. They're filing the motions they need to file, which, you know, resulted in no death penalty. And mm-hmm. they're just working, you know, as hard as they do on every other case, which, you know, props to them. You know, defense sure. attorneys get a bad rap, but sure. sometimes we don't get to choose our clients.
Well, 100.
Doing a good job on that.
100%. I also wonder too, I mean, and yes, they're following the procedures that they need to do, filing what they need to file, but are they really keeping this close to the vest, or are they literally just kind of taking this day by day because they have no idea what the hell they're going to do when it comes their turn?
Oh gosh. Well, I hope not, but sometimes you get those cases where, you know, I'm working on one now where we've got 2 witnesses and nothing to do, and where I'm like, we're going to play this fast and loose in trial. I've got nothing on them, you know? Yeah. So there are those cases, but I hope in this type of case that they're not having to do that, because it's stressful. It's anxiety ridden and everything. Cause you don't want to look like a bad lawyer on a national stage or even just in a local stage.
Sure.
So hopefully they have something up their sleeve.
Hopefully. I mean, I understand you don't want to look that way, or nobody would want to look that way, but sometimes you're just, you know, you're pitched that ball that you can't hit. It's like, because it's a bowling ball, you know?
Yes.
It's like, this isn't going
to
work.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. I mean, I've had some of those cases where it's just like, oh gosh, there's just nothing. There's nothing. And you know it going in, but the client wants to still do the trial or anything. Or in this case, you know, the state may not have given an offer and they had no choice but to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope they have something. You know, I'm split. I'm kind of rooting for them, but then not really.
Sure. So. From a human aspect, it's like, yeah, she's guilty as hell. But from a professional aspect, it's like, if you can pull this off, you guys win the like defense attorney of the year if you somehow get this person off.
Exactly. I mean, we're used to losing and stuff. So when we can win some, it's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Well, you know, with this story, it changes so dramatically and we keep learning more and more. And nothing would surprise me at this point.
Oh yeah, me too. It's interesting to see what's going to come. I'm not sure how many more weeks they have. I feel like I want to say 3 more weeks of testimony in the case going on. I hope not that long because that's a long trial.
Yeah.
But
they estimated roughly
pins and needles.
I think they estimated well on this. I think they estimated up to 10 weeks, but we shall see.
Yes, we will definitely see.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Haley Tarrin, thank you so much for your insight into this case. We're following them all for you. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any breaking updates and discussions on the cases that we have for you right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.